Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to podcast of You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, the passionate podcast that lets you take control of your health so you can live at the top of your curve for very long. And that's why we're here and why we have a special guest today. For you keeping track, this is podcast 848, segment B, the guest segment. And we have a spectacular guest, Dr. Indra Sidambi. She's the medical director of the Center for Network Therapy, an addiction medicine expert. It's New Jersey's first state-licensed ambulatory outpatient detoxification care and treatment facility. We're going to talk to her about detoxification, but actually about all of addiction. So stay tuned. Dr. Sidambi, thanks for coming.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to join you and your listeners today.
Well, hopefully we will all learn a lot from you. Let's first talk about addiction as a problem. How common is it? And is it just to opiates or is it to other things as well?
Unfortunately, this is very, very common now to deal with substance abuse. Polysubstance abuse is a big issue. People tend to mix drugs and try to get high.
And how did you get it? Well, let's go back to, so people are mixing drugs to get high. And I grew up in the Haight-Ashbury era in the Summer of Love. We're at the 50th anniversary of the Summer of Love this year. And it initially started as this wonderful thing, and then people diverted to using multiple drugs. So the Haight-Ashbury Clinic, which I was a volunteer at in my freshman year of medical school and sophomore year in between first and second year and between second and third year, which was this wonderful place to work at. You'd help people in the first year. In the second year, it became one of conning us for drugs and became hard drugs and mixing drugs. And that's kind of what happens to people, too, don't they? They change from using the medicines for benefit, and then all of a sudden, they get hooked on them.
Yeah, most of these medications that we talk about, like, say, opiates, they've been prescribed for chronic pain, and the nature of the medication is to make someone get addicted to it. There is a dependency for these medications. People develop physical dependence and also psychological dependence. Then it becomes like a withdrawal from the medication, and then they become an addict. So that's the nature of the medication itself. Say benzodiazepines, opiates, that normally being prescribed by the doctors for a medical reason becomes a problem while they continue to take it for a long time.
Is there any regular education that people get when they get one of these drugs? So we're talking about polypharmacy, you said. So some of these drugs you get prescribed, but some of them you add. And it doesn't seem to me there's a regular education program that people get when they get these drugs.
I have to agree with you, sadly enough. We as doctors should be doing a much better job in educating our patients with the kind of medication that they are signing on to, and also to educate them about the drug-drug interaction, because today's trend is to go to a primary care physician, get medication for depression, and then they end up seeing the other specialist for arthritic pain. So one doctor does not have communication with the other doctor, nor do they have the list of medication that that patient is taking. And so the drug-drug interaction also has been overlooked. And so that is a big problem.
Now, the numbers are astonishing. I'm in Ohio. We have some outpatient centers here, too. But the point that I'm bringing up is that more people died of drug overdoses, as I understand the recent data, than died of auto accidents in the United States.
You're absolutely right. Drug overdose leading cause today is the accidental death in the United States. 20,000 people die from the prescription pain pills, and 12,000 people have died from the heroin use itself. So you can see prescription pain pills have killed more people than the heroin itself. That's striking. And also, more than 50% of individuals addicted to heroin started with prescription pain pills. How sad is that?
Is there anything, in other words, what I get asked all the time is there anything you can give along with a prescription for pain pills, or is there anything that we could put in alcohol to make it so that you can get the high but not get the craving, not get the physical dependence? Or
that's a beautiful one. You know, the brain does not understand how one takes the drug. The brain needs the reward system gets activated, and that is going to be a problem. So we have to learn to be total, to be okay with the total abstinent lifestyle. That is a struggle today.
So, I should say that we are talking with Dr. Indra Cidambi, CIDAMBI, who's a physician medical director of the Center for Network Therapy, an addiction medical expert at New Jersey's first state-licensed ambulatory outpatient detoxification care and treatment facility. Dr. Cidambi, when someone comes to you, are they being forced to come to you? Do they come to you willingly? What's the way that most people get to you? And is it just opiates, or is it benzodiazepines, or is it alcohol, or is it cocaine? What do they come for?
The beauty of this ambulatory detox that I am running in New Jersey is that people are willing. Majority of my patients are seeking help because it's been overwhelming for them to continue to use. So that is a positive trend. The one of the reasons being that it's an outpatient and they are under control. They can go back to their own beds at the end of the day. So that is very appealing to patients who are addicted to pills and or drugs and alcohol. So we detox people from every substance that's been addicted, like alcohol, benzodiazepine, opiates, synthetic substances. We take them in and we try to work with them and we detox them, and then they step down to partial hospital program and IOP, which is intensive outpatient treatment. So I don't see so much resistance as the inpatient treatment faces because, it's still, they feel they are under control.
And most of them do it, this is voluntary rather than having a consequence or being ordered to do it by some state agency.
I do see state agency forcing them to come in, ordered by court for them to go through detox, and they do come in. But then when they understand that they can go back to their home environment, that kind of makes them feel, oh, I am under control, so I can do what I want to at the end of the day. And sometimes they do go around trying to say if they are coming off of a heroin, they might go home and have a glass of wine. And the next day when they get drug tested, they'll have to explain why did they have the wine. And then they learn coping mechanisms. And that's the best model so far that I've encountered, having worked in an inpatient setting, now working with an outpatient ambulatory detox for the past 4 years, I have learned that this model is much more practical compared to the inpatient treatment.
And now let me go and ask a couple of questions along those lines. Isn't denial a huge component of this? They deny that they have a problem. So is it the family is forcing them or pushing them to come, or do some of them not have denial anymore? In other words, in the days when I was involved in educating about this, which is about 15 years ago, there was a large component of denial. And if a physician started along the lines of getting addicted, they often had to do an intervention, and we had to get them there with four or five of us working together rather than one at a time.
Denial comes from the fear, you know, fear of the consequences, stigma, shame. And so that's the first reaction from anybody who has been diagnosed with substance use disorder. The immediate thing is like, I don't have it. They minimize it. They deny using it. But once we go past that, they are much more willing to work with the treaters. And so we at our center focus more on the stigma and shame and make them accept treatment, because it doesn't make sense to sober up for someone else. One cannot, like, come in for treatment because someone forced them. The wife will leave the husband because he has been drinking, so I'm here for help. Even though they present like that, we kind of immediately work on that component, because unless the person does not want to stop using, there's not much that we can do as treaters. So expect the denial, address that right off the bat, and then make them see that this is a problem and they are not alone and there is hope, and that helps.
Now, what medicines work in outpatient? So the acute withdrawal, there's an acute withdrawal phase, and then there's a getting them psychiatric help and other help so that they don't regress or revert. What medications do you use to help them withdraw initially?
Being an addiction psychiatrist, I am at a much better place because I'm able to address both the psychiatric issues and the withdrawal symptoms from day one. When they come in, I'm able to detox them with all the medications that has been used in an inpatient setting. We use the same thing like Librium, Suboxone, Clonopin, Ativan, whatever has been used traditionally in an inpatient setting, we use them all. And we store the medication in-house, so it is comfortable for us to medicate them as needed. The big difference with an outpatient ambulatory detox is that we customize detox protocol for the patient for that particular day. So if they have SIVA scores, SINA scores, which are like high on day one, they get medicated accordingly. So there is a titration of medication up or down depending on their scores that they present with. And so that's an everyday customized treatment. That is very powerful.
Now, what I understood and is that many addicts will shoot up on their way to getting detoxification.
That's right.
Why is that? Is that kind of a last high, or what's the psychology of that?
That psychology goes two steps. The first step is like traditional model is an inpatient model. So the person who is getting high wants to make sure that they have enough in their system so that once they go in, they are not going to be facing the lapse of time before somebody medicates them. And that is one. You know, faith. The other model is like they say to themselves, I'm anyways going in for treatment. Why can't I have my last, whatever I have on me, let me finish them before I go in.
Now, the other thing, and what I want to do, and what we're going to do, and I'm talking to the audience now, is we're going to do two segments. So in the next segment, next week, we're going to talk a lot about the chronic withdrawal, that is, what you do and how recovery is, and is there a relapse and what people do with relapse. So we're talking now about the acute phase. So with Dr. Indra Sidambi, who, as I said, is medical director of the Center for Network Therapy and an addiction medical expert, she founded the Center for Network Therapy, New Jersey's first state-licensed ambulatory outpatient detoxification care and treatment facility. We're talking now about in this segment, 848B, we're talking about the acute phase, and we'll get into the chronic phase and what happens long-term with people in next week. I was going to say in a few minutes, but it's going to be next week's segment. But Dr. Sundambi, so the acute phase is they come in high, and then you give them you put an IV in, and you give them some intravenous medication to help them withdraw. Is this meaning when they go home that day, what stops them from shooting up again at home?
Okay, that's a beautiful question that you asked me. First of all, we do not do any intravenous medication lines here at the center. It's all the oral intake of medication, and max they might get an injection form if needed. So just to clarify that, there is no IV lines. There is no intravenous medication given in the center. What keeps them from not using when they go home is twofolded again. One is like having addressed their withdrawal symptoms appropriately due to the customized titration of medication. They go home at a very comfortable pace. They go home to sleep. They fall asleep and they come back the next day morning for treatment. But also having therapy throughout the day. When they come in for detox, they get the medication all through the day that they sit here from 9 to 5 p.m. The nurse is monitoring their vital signs and doing their SIVA score. And, as a physician, I'll be titrating the medication according to their withdrawal symptoms. And at the end of the day, they get a bigger dose and they go home and sleep. If at all they use, they don't get high because if their drug of choice was opiates, they go home and they have been taking Suboxone the whole day long. So it's very hard for them to get high. They might try it, but they are not getting the same effect that they wanted. So they come back the next day frustrated and they talk to us and talk about, I used, but it's not good. I don't want to take Suboxone. And then we work with them. We make them understand, but, it's a process. And it's good for them to learn it in their own environment and to be able to say no for drugs, which has been the trend with most of my patients. 80% of our patients get better, and they stay sober for over 90 days after they complete the treatment at the center.
So we'll get into the chronic treatment. So what you have done initially in this acute withdrawal is you give them something that makes them sleep and gets them so tired is they don't feel like taking that evening. Is that what I understand?
They take the medication. Like, say, if it is alcohol, they'll be given Librium as they take it in the hospital too. But it is at the end of the day when they go home, they are able to, remain sober. And if not, if they do have a drink and they come back the next day to the center, we work with the relapse because relapse is inevitable, but how we address relapse is very important. In order for them to be able to talk about the relapse and their cravings and learn coping skills on a daily basis and put them to practice in their home environment makes this model successful.
We're going to talk about that next week on segment 849. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. We've been talking with addiction expert and the person who founded New Jersey State's first licensed ambulatory or outpatient detoxification care and treatment facility, the Center for Network Therapy, Dr. Indra Sundambi. We'll be right back next week with a new show and a new podcast. Stay tuned. We're going to talk to her next week about the chronic therapy and relapse and what you do to prevent that and how the psychological event of that unfolds. We'll be right back. And thanks, as usual, to Kevin for great engineering.